an update on SAFE after another year of progress. I'm Paul Plack, and this is AeroNews. Welcome into the AeroNews special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Here at Oshkosh, I'm sitting with Doug Stewart, who is the chairman of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. And a lot has happened since we talked at this point last year with Doug at Oshkosh 2010, particularly in the area of the output of the Pilot Training Reform Symposium that was held in Atlanta in May. And while that was drawing attention, there were even other things going on within SAFE. So we're here to get an update. Doug, thanks for taking some time with us today.
My pleasure as always, Paul. It's always a thrill to be with you, and I'm always prepared for the tough questions.
All right. All right. Well, let's start with an easy one and warm you up then. We've all heard a lot about the symposium, so let's start a little bit differently and tell us what's new with SAFE. Your organizational structure has evolved.
Yes, indeed it has. It's something we've been working on for the 2.5 years plus that we've been in existence. And just last Thursday, we received word from the Internal Revenue Service that we are now an official public charity. We have been approved to operate as a 509A2 organization. A lot of people don't know what that is. I didn't know what it was. I thought, oh my God, that's not what we applied for. It's actually a pretty good subclassification of 501c3, and it allows us to now accept tax-deductible donations to rather high levels. Hint, hint.
We're not asking anybody to do anything. However, we will have a tote board at this point next year. All right. What do you intend to do with this new fundraising prowess?
Well, certainly raise funds, quite obviously. There are a variety of different organizations and individuals who have been sitting waiting in the wings to offer us different ways of fundraising, offering us different ways of obtaining funds for our organization. I'm not at liberty to discuss them just yet because we still have to put the logistical things in place. One of them is, for me, an extremely exciting opportunity to fly a very exciting airplane that we'll be running as a raffle. The details will be released as soon as we've got everything in place.
You had me go in there. When you said a very exciting opportunity for you, I thought you were going to get an EAA-level salary.
Well, we actually, all joking aside, as you're probably aware, as the listenership is aware, we are a completely volunteer organization. The only paid staff member we have is our webmaster / bookkeeper. And it would be nice to get an executive director. It would allow me to spend a little more time making some money in my own business for myself, to replenish my bank account, which has been slowly depleting. So we are hoping that with 501c3, the opportunity to raise funds will allow us now to finally build our coffers up enough so that we can hire an executive director. And we're looking forward to that.
Okay, that gets to what my real question was. It wasn't so much what are you going to do with this in terms of raising money, but tell me what the problems are SAFE wants to address that require money. Where will you put this money?
I think for now we've grown to the point where it really is virtually a full-time job to run the organization. Ask me how I know.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to hire someone and offer them a salary that's going to make it viable for someone of the quality that we require to step into that position. Without the funds, we can't do that. And we're reaching that critical mass time where we have to do it.
Okay, we're going to get to the symposium output in a moment, but I want to ask you, you've had a couple of years in this thing now. Where do you see SAFE going in the future? Have you refined the mission, or has it maybe even moved in some directions you didn't originally anticipate?
I don't think it's really moved necessarily in directions we hadn't anticipated. But certainly for me, one of the missions that we have to achieve is to broaden our membership base. For the most part, we are still a membership primarily of flight instructors, and we need to reach out and expand. We are the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, and this includes the K-12 group. And in fact, just yesterday, a couple people were here in the tent running a very exciting STEM program in Nevada. in the high school system there have created an incredible curriculum. They both joined SAFE. They're going to be offering their curriculum to our members-only library. We're still negotiating. We might even make this available through our website to the general public. It's dependent upon them because it is their product. But this will allow us to, you know, to start expanding out to the K through 12 teacher that should be a part of our organization, because we are aviation educators, not just flight instructors. And I really would like to see us start to expand that. It's something we need to do.
Doug Stewart's my guest. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from AeroNews. If you don't already use AvConnect, you will. The new Aircraft Manager for iPad by AvConnect is a one-stop management system for every aspect of your flying and aircraft management. Everything you need to access, from your aircraft status to pilot currencies, flight logs, maintenance, and squawk tracking, is available and manageable right from the cockpit. Plus, AvConnect's iPad app brings you WingX and SpiderTrax technology, adding flight planning, moving maps, real-time satellite flight following, and more. Sign up anytime this week and get half off any plan for 3 months. Find out more at avconnect.net. AvConnect, simply making it easier to own and operate aircraft. Concorde Platinum Series batteries are available for all aircraft and offer more power to run avionics and electrical systems, and a lower percentage of drain, resulting in more reserve capacity. Concorde, for the heart of your aircraft. Welcome back to the AeroNews special feature. Paul Plack here with Doug Stewart of SAFE at Oshkosh, and we're talking about SAFE and where it's going. And let's talk about how the symposium went, because since we last talked by phone briefly, a lot of the content has come out, the reports and content have come out on the website, and you guys have actually beat your projections in terms of when that would come out.
Yes, we did. Quite surprisingly, we had projected to have our report out within 60 days after the end of the symposium, and we actually had it out 30 days after. The report has gone out now to all the different organizations that we wanted it to go to. It's also available on the SAFE website, which is www.safepilots.org, and the Pilot Training Reform, one word, .org website. So anyone can go there to read the reports. People have been responding. Different organizations have been in communication with us, working through responses, and I'm looking forward to timely responses from many of the critical organizations. One of the things that had come forth during the symposium was the fact that there are many instructors that are operating without any kind of a syllabus. And a whole bunch of people stepped forward. ASA was one of them, providing QREF another. We in SAFE took our syllabi from our members-only library and made it available to the public. And now on the SAFE Pilot site and the Pilot Training Reform site, these syllabi are now available to instructors, any instructor, don't have to be a member of SAFE at all, to use at their convenience to aid them in becoming better instructors, which is one of these reforms that we need. We found that a lot of instructors are just, pardon the pun, winging it, and it doesn't work.
Well, and if you talk to students who dropped out, that actually comes up. The word syllabus comes up, like there wasn't one. And it's kind of, I guess it's kind of surprising to me that more instructors don't get a clue about this. I think there must be just so many guys doing it informally. I know that, you know, I like to fly gyroplanes, and I know there are guys who are just in it at a level that allows them basically to pay for their own flying as much as they want to do. But it still kind of surprises me that given the numbers we have and what we know about student retention, that hasn't been a, you know, top of list for almost any instructor.
There are so many things, Paul, that to you and I are no-brainers. but sadly, the new, particularly young instructors, are not learning the importance of these types of issues. They're not learning the importance of interpersonal relationship, of how to communicate. And certainly having a syllabus is part of that communication. You know, this is what we're going to do at our next lesson, and here's the homework that you need to do for that. And if we're just winging it, as I said, you know, so often I'll hear stories. A client will come to me and tell me about how working with their instructor, they didn't know what they were going to be doing. They got in the airplane, and the instructor turned to them and said, "So what are we going to do today?" and we wonder why we have high attrition.
Well, I have to say that when I saw, one of the first things that came out was a list of items for instructors, kind of a code of conduct. Among the things on the list was, don't hit on your students. Use deodorant. You know, I mean, I guess things are worse than I thought.
Yeah, in some ways they are. In some ways they are. There needs to be a lot of education done with many of the young instructors. And another thing that I've actually come to realize is that many of the younger instructors that are coming through college now, when I talk about communication, you see them whipping out their smartphone and texting in the middle of an interview. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the SAFE members, a former National Flight Instructor of the Year, told a story of how she was conducting an interview with a young person who was coming to work as a flight instructor at her school, a very prominent flight school, and in the middle of the interview whipped out his cell phone and started texting. We need to do a lot of educating. Those of us involved in aviation education are very obviously dropping the ball in educating new flight instructors. And that's certainly one of the things that did come out of the symposium, and one that I am personally very passionate about.
I was told an anecdotal story about someone in an office who, they hired a young person who was just out of college, and the young person was spending half his day on his cell phone. And when they called him in to tell him that his services were no longer required, he was shocked, and he said, but I paid for those minutes. So, you know, I guess there is a wide discrepancy maybe between expectations on both sides. But where does SAFE go from here? What's the next step for the symposium? I know you're at that point now where the rubber meets the road, where these action plans have to come back. How will they be evaluated and coordinated and implemented?
Good question. I'm not sure I'm prepared to answer.
That's going to be one for the new executive director.
It's certainly one that the committee is going to have to address. As these recommendations went out, the options were given as well to those who got the report, being targeted as having to do something with it. One would be to accept the recommendation, accept what they were supposed to do, and say, well, okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is when we're going to get it done. There would also be the option to say, well, we accept the recommendation, but we don't really feel we're the ones who should implement this, and throw it back into our court. They could also throw it back to our court by saying, you're all wet, you're all wrong, we don't believe this is right at all. So there are a variety of options that different groups might take to these recommendations. And the issue for us, I think, will be as the response comes back in, how do we take these responses to move them forward from there? In other words, if someone comes back and says, well, this is all wet, we have to stop and really look at it and say, are they right? Are they not right? If they want someone else to do it, we'll have to say, okay, well, let's, if they say, well, we think you're right, but we don't want anything to do with it, well, we can't force, you know, anyone into do that. But as I said at the start in my opening remarks of the symposium, and again in my closing remarks of the symposium, SAFE was the catalyst to get this movement going. SAFE is not looking to be the hero, the savior of general aviation. This has to be a collaborative effort of all the organizations, and I think that basically all of us get that now. It's time to put down the fences, to put down the walls. I know that Jim Campbell is planning his Aero Transformation, ATC 2012. I am going to be part of that. We all have to work together, and I think that's really becoming very evident and very obvious. And the time is gone for, well, we have to be the lead. And so I think SAFE's role as we get response to the report will be to negotiate where there are issues to ensure that we can continue to work together to move it forward. It might be challenging at times, but isn't life challenging? So I'm up for the challenge.
SAFE was a challenge. You did that.
Yes, it was.
All right. Well, Doug, we wish you all the best. It's an exciting effort, and I'm kind of in awe of how much buy-in you got for the symposium for as young an organization as SAFE was, and
especially from the FAA side. The FAA was very, very much involved in the symposium, and I think, you know, a number of people, some of whom are close friends of ours, didn't think this was the way to attack this problem, and I think it's doing great things, and we'll follow with great interest.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you stopping by, and always look forward to the visit.
Doug Stewart is the chairman of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. Find out more at www.safepilots.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. In Oshkosh, I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.